This podcast's only purpose is for informational use. It is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Investing in the market is risky, and past performance is not indicative of future results. This is episode 25, and today we are talking about old money versus new money. I've been digging too deep. Welcome back to another episode of the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast, the podcast where I talk about the things that you should be thinking about when it comes to your money. As I was writing this podcast, I hit 6,000 followers on TikTok, and it was one of those things where I almost couldn't believe that it had happened. After only about like 2 months of TikTok, TikTok is probably my favorite place to make content, even though I really only make podcast episodes and TikTok videos and tweets. But I personally have the most fun making TikToks because I can get creative with the clips of me using my mic and editing it and making cuts of my video, stuff like that. So hitting 6,000 feels like people are appreciating the time and the effort that I put into my content. And you know, it only motivates me to keep putting it out at the speed and frequency that I do. It's funny to think how I was at first brutally hesitant about starting my TikTok, even though Gary Vaynerchuk was continually telling all of his followers to do so. When I finally said it's time, I made my account, started posting little clips of my podcast where I would have an animation with the podcast transcribed for the people watching the TikTok. Obviously, because they were my first TikToks, they didn't do too well, but it was just fun to make content about the thing that I was passionate about talking about. So now that I've had a couple of TikToks go viral and one hit a million views, I can finally interact with people who are willing to learn about personal finance with me, and you know, we can have conversations about money topics. I never really knew how many skeptics there were when it came to saving money, investing it smartly. Some people just aren't ready to have that conversation yet, and that's totally fine. And you know, that's when they redirect their frustration from the topic of money to pretty much, you know, just towards me, but you know, I don't mind. It's all part of the conversation. Whatever helps them process it, it's not that big of a deal. I think though, that's the tough part about talking about something that you're passionate about or putting something on display that you've put time and energy into making, only for it to get shot down by someone who hasn't gotten out of bed since they woke up at 11 a.m. and they've just gone on their phone the whole time. But I don't really necessarily have a problem with that, but I feel bad for the people who take that type of stuff to heart, and they just think so negatively about it. But I have a couple of buddies who just simply don't want to put their passions out because they're too afraid of it being rejected by people who don't even know them. But when your goal is to do something that involves other people consuming that thing that you're putting out, it's tough to get any traction when there isn't anyone to see it. It really is a shame too, because I feel like if they only tried, they would see that the negativity gets ratioed out by the positivity most of the time. People can see the intention of the person they're watching, and I think it can either make them attracted to the message or not. This is a little random, but basically what I'm saying is, if you have something you're passionate about that involves people having to watch or consume it somehow, there will always be people that push against what you're trying to do. It's just a way of life. But you can't focus on them. You have to focus on the people that do support you and take your message in with open arms and who are willing to learn. If I hadn't just made some content about my podcast then, I wouldn't even be close to the amount of listeners that I have today. And I recognize and appreciate that so much. So what do we have to talk about today? Today we are talking about old money versus new money. Basically what it means, what defines both of them, and how they affect you. So when you think of old money, what do you think? Do you think of, you know, the British royal family, the distant Rockefeller family members, maybe the distant Carnegie family members, maybe the Rothschilds? If you happen to allocate these names with old money, you would be correct. These are the family names that have collectively stood on massive amounts of wealth created by a generation of family members that would effectively subsidize the lives of many other generations after them. But how does this differ from new money? BizJournal.com equates the old money versus new money argument as if the two were in a buffet-style restaurant going up to the buffet to get their food. They say that, quote, old money puts a small amount on their plate, rationalizing that they can, you know, return later if they're still hungry, and that, quote, new money piles the food high, focuses on the higher priced items, they rationalize the good stuff will likely run out. And when the conversation turns in, you know, to eating out or going in, they say that old money, quote, entertains at home, does their own cooking, meals can be simple, enjoy formal entertaining, owns all the gear, which were often wedding presents. And that new money, quote, entertains exclusively by dining out. Couples split the check down the middle. They had many of these scenarios with different occasions, but probably my favorite one is where each group goes on vacation for the summer. They say that old money has, quote, a summer house at the shore or in the mountains, spends the summer working, spouses stays in the city weekdays, and returns on weekends. New money, however, where you summer is important to them. They rent a house in the Hamptons, they let everyone know, they invite people to visit, and now, this particular article is comparing old money with new money in the sense that old money is well-mannered, very humble, smart with their wealth, and that new money is the exact opposite. Loud and boisterous with both their wealth and manners-wise, makes good money but spends even better money, and is on the brink of insecurity and feels the need to make it known that they summer in the Hamptons in a $3,000 a night room. I think that pretty much everyone has heard the name Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller founded the Standard Oil Company in 1870 and remained its largest shareholder even after he stopped running in 1897. His wealth is legendary, sitting at around $418 billion after inflation, according to Forbes. So basically, he is almost 2.5 times as wealthy as Elon Musk, who was currently the world's richest man at $185 billion. Can you imagine a single person having over $400 billion? At America's oil peak, he controlled 90% of all the oil that the United States had. Not only that, but he finally became the world's first billionaire. He became almost 2% of the country's entire economy. When he died in 1937, it would be clear that his fortune would be able to take care of generations of his descendants. There is a saying that says, quote, fortunes only survive three generations. Basically saying that whatever fortune one may amass within three generations of family members, they would have effectively spent it all. This isn't the case with the Rockefellers, however. Their wealth is still massive at around $8.4 billion, according to Forbes, in December 2020. This is after over 100 years since John first began the Standard Oil Company. But you don't hear about their wealth or their philanthropy. They stay out of the media spotlight, just like the infamous Rothschilds with a collective net worth of $400 billion via celebritynetworth.com. Quote, the Rothschilds family was a family of five sons and their father who created a banking empire during the 1800s, and today the Rothschilds have a collective net worth of $400 billion. Known as one of the wealthiest family in history, the Rothschilds have become quite influential, although in the modern era, they are said to be less powerful than in previous generations. So both of these fortunes have carried descendants through their lives and most likely will for a couple of generations. Putting those two families into your mind frame, it draws a significant line between old money and new money. As I said before, new money is more current, louder, more flashy. They're in the news or social media. New money is loosely defined as wealth that was built in the current generation. In other words, some angel investors, movie stars, athletes, musicians, and maybe you could even consider Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos. A super interesting article from Alux.com gives a couple of comparisons that are more literal when talking about old money versus new money. I'll go over a couple of fundamental differences that they stated. The first difference is new money invests short-term, old money invests long-term. So like I said, new money is someone who has come onto their wealth more recently through corporate work or investments or a startup, something along those lines. For those things to be profitable within the single generation, the focus has to be short-term, even though yes, life is long. This is when you're sitting in a meeting with this startup that you're super interested in and you put $50,000 and you get whatever equity they're willing to offer. Old money is the investments in gold, aggregate stock market indexes, real estate, oil, things that are proven to maybe not pay out right away, but as they keep compounding over generations, it becomes more and more fruitful for the people benefiting. The second one that I found super interesting, new money spends by trends, old money spends by tradition. And the quote from the article reads, quote, when it comes to their spending habits, old money is pretty much set in stone. They have the legacy brands, they have their traditions, their already favorite hotels, resorts, automobile brands, and they stick with them. New money, however, is bold and wild. It wants attention. They love trends. They're part of the conversation and of the change that's happening in the world. Old money treasures tradition. They work with the same firms as the previous generations did. The kids go to the same schools where their name means legacy and so on. What I got from this part is that old money focuses on legacy and impact, like the Vanderbilt family. I'm sure you've heard of Vanderbilt University. New money isn't so much concerned with things like that. They don't care about their name being on a school. They don't, you know, they'd rather just have a Bentley, which is totally fine, totally understandable. The last part that I found interesting out of the 15 examples was number 3. New money loves talking, and old money rarely mentions it. The goal of new money is to stand out and be treated superior to that of everyone else receiving the same service as you. That's why people get bottle services to their table. That's why people lust over valets. And that's why having the corner office is the goal for many in a corporate setting. It's to be seen and to be different. Old money is the complete opposite. Don't mention money because people will treat you differently. It's super interesting to think about because if you put the pieces together, it really does make sense. If we take a step back and really compare these in a way that maybe we'll be able to understand a little bit better, and maybe throw some personal finance language into it and stuff like that, we could honestly compare old money to investing in index funds and target date retirement funds in a Roth IRA for 45 years and benefiting off of the money way later in life. Year after year, your money is growing. You're not withdrawing this money to fund a lavish lifestyle. You're letting it grow for much, much later in life. And then we could compare new money to maybe something like options trading. It's fast, it's risky, it's loud and in the spotlight. You buy the securities with leverage. It becomes a personality trait for some. So which one would you rather be? Obviously, any type of wealth is the goal, but what I want you to think about is, what will your attitude and lifestyle be when it comes to money? Will it be reserved but leave a legacy like having your own university building? Or will it be more so for the Instagram picture that you'll be able to remember for a few years and be able to indulge in your success now? Let me know at 2Cents20YearOld on TikTok and Twitter. I would love to hear what you guys have to say. And as I said last episode, I am going to be converting to only making one podcast episode a week on Mondays due to my school starting again and me continuing to work full time. And, you know, you only have so many hours in the day. If I find that this isn't so bad, actually, then I'll keep posting twice a week. But as of right now, Monday it is. I actually just had my first day of classes today. And what am I taking? I'm taking some sort of collegiate math class. I'm taking a marketing class. I'm taking another personal finance class. I'm taking another accounting class. I'm taking, what's the last one? I can't quite remember, actually. Media studies class. That one's going to be interesting because that's not even a part of my major. And I've never really taken a class like that. So media studies, I'm super excited for. It looks like the class that's going to be the least workload. So I'm pretty excited about that. But I'm taking, so full-time school, 5 classes, full-time work. And I know for a fact that my accounting class is going to be tough because it's the same professor that I had last semester from my other accounting class. And it's not that he was tough, but we just have a lot of work and it takes a long time. Our homework takes maybe a couple of hours. And I got into the bad habit last semester of pretty much waiting till Sunday to do it, when I probably could have just chipped away at it all week, which I'm hoping to do this semester. So that's what my schedule is looking like. Luckily, I won't be living on campus, so I'll be able to work still and I won't have to travel back and forth. I'll be doing online. And, we don't have any scheduled meetings. So it's a work at your own pace type thing. And I'll be able to work a lot more and continue to make money, continue investing, continue saving. and continue making this podcast, which I'm super excited about. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this one, and I'll see you next Monday.